Grace, peace, and mercy to you this day from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, just a reminder, over the course of this fall, up until Advent, we're engaging in a preaching series focused on the three words that have kind of been the foundational mission for Mount Olivet Lutheran Church congregation for quite a while now. The words are believing, belonging, and becoming. And so we're in week two of focusing on the believing part. You know, what does it mean to believe? How do we believe? What happens in the midst of a congregation in terms of believing and such? And I found it interesting that in the second week of talking about believing, essentially the gospel story tells a story about a person who says, "I don't believe," which seems kind of strange to me. Did you hear the man? He says, "I believe, help my unbelief." And it strikes me in this congregation has had people who are either wise or crazy enough to teach this to kids. Any of you been to Cathedral of the Pines? Any of you out there that have been there? Okay, so some of you are going to know this choir, "Help Me If You Can Too." Sing it if you know it. "I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in God the Spirit, one and three, and three in one. I believe, Lord, I believe, I believe, Lord, I believe, I believe, yes, I believe, help, O Lord, my unbelief." See, these people know it by heart. Big kids, right? "Help, O Lord, my unbelief." We've taught this to kids. And I wonder if we caught that. You know, it's a kind of a heart-wrenching scene that Pastor Callan read from the Gospel of Mark this morning. Jesus has been off with a couple of his disciples, and he comes back into town, and there's a crowd gathered amongst the other ones, the other gang that is there, and they're arguing with each other, and it turns out that there's been a man who has a sick kid. And really sick. It talks about an unclean spirit that as the kid has been in seizures and foamed at the mouth and gone rigid, and it's even tried to cast him into fire and drown him in water, and it doesn't allow him to speak. And anybody who's had a sick kid, especially one who's terminally ill, knows how terrible a situation that is, how desperate it is. And Jesus understands that his disciples have not the man came to the disciples, and they weren't able to do anything about this. To which Jesus seems to kind of get grumpy. Did you catch that too? Pastor Callan read, Jesus said, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you and put up with you?" That's not the Sunday school Jesus I remember. And then the man ends up pleading with Jesus, you know, "If you're able to do anything, help us, have pity on us." And Jesus seems to kind of still be crabby because he says, "If you're able, anything is possible for the one who believes." And it's at that the man confesses, "I believe, help my unbelief." And I wonder, what do you do with that? Can any of you or us relate to that? And maybe can Jesus work with your unbelief or forgive your unbelief? So much of popular Christianity bases a lot on our belief. You'll hear the question, "Do you believe?" often put this way too, "Are you saved?" And I think what's normally implied is that you look inside yourself then, or what normally occurs is you look inside yourself and you have a little conversation there. "Oh, do I believe?" You know. Martin Luther talked about this being curved inward on yourself. And you start to be concerned about your own belief. I wonder how many people have been tormented over the years, wondering if indeed you believe enough. So much so that you make belief your own personal project. We start to base our worth upon how we answer that question, and then we force it upon others, demanding that they get on the same program as well, right? But faith, belief, is more about relationship. And relationships are complex, they're rich, they develop, they're wondrous, they're joyful, they can be really difficult. I know in pretty much all of my relationships, I don't always make the best decision because we're broken. There are things out of our control. Maybe we're scared or we lack knowledge or we just have roadblocks in our way. And you see, what I think the Father understands is, despite how much belief he may very well have, it's not his belief that needs help. It's his unbelief. A couple of weeks ago, I got to engage in one of those social traditions, customs, and festivities known as a bachelor party. And you know, if you've been to one of these, you know, you're there for your one friend, and then they've gathered their friends across different spaces and times, you know, throughout their life. And so there's really no reason why you should all be together, but there you are. Because you're connected to your friend. And then I made the mistake of confessing that I'm a pastor. Okay? And it's not what you think, okay? It's not what you think. Because what happened then is then I had to work, you know? Because we're in the midst. It was casual. We were just hanging out. We were at a cabin enjoying the lovely weather, the evening and such. And then, you know, people start confessing. And a peer of mine is there, and he says, oh, what's that about? And I'm trying to explain what it's like to be a pastor. If you find out, let me know. But start confessing, he grew up, you know, in this certain faith tradition, and then kind of went away from it, and he had questions about it, and he kind of believes that there's, you know, something to this or not, but really, not really, he's kind of searching and all this kind of stuff, right? And he says, I would call myself agnostic. And I really didn't want to work, so we didn't continue the conversation all that much further. But, you know, other festivities took precedence over this. But as in reflecting on the scripture passage this week, boy, it sounds like that father. I believe, but I need some help with unbelief. And I think if I'd go back, or if we meet up again, I'd say, hey, you know what? You're not alone. You're in pretty good company. In fact, a lot of people who would say that same thing gather in the church that I serve from week to week, and often I'm one of them. And I have a message for you. It seems Jesus can totally work with that. In fact, it's his specialty. He even forgives it. Because he loves you that much. And if you're one of those who confesses, I don't believe this stuff, or I have some difficulty in it, you know, of course. It's finally beyond you. Martin Luther said it way back when. He said, explaining the work of the Holy Spirit, he said, I believe that by my own understanding or effort, I cannot believe. Sounds like that father from Scripture. If you don't have enough, join the club. It also strikes me that those disciples who didn't have enough faith to cast out the spirit out of this boy were the ones who became the church. And of all people, Peter, the rock, ironically, crumbled when Jesus was arrested. And he was asked, do you know this guy? Do you follow him? You're one of his disciples. And what did Peter say? He said, I don't even know him. And yet Peter, in the resurrection of Christ, is forgiven, called again. Jesus says, how much longer must I be among you and put up with you? Well, he puts up with Peter all the way to death and even beyond. And so, we teach it to our children, and we sing it to each other on Sunday morning. You have unbelief? Oh, that sounds about right. But be welcomed and loved by a God and Savior who has faith enough for you and might get frustrated with you every now and then, wondering how much longer I got to put up with these nincompoops. But then hear again and keep praying with the father of the boy, I believe. Help my unbelief. And he will. Amen.